This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Well, listen, I heard something about the weekend. I heard Nassau gone funky this weekend. I want to thank my producer, Arlington, this morning. Let me show you something. When I chose that song, I went online and I found a vinyl version, old scratch-up version, so you could reminisce about your Grammy on the front porch. Telling you, now mine, make sure you have your behind inside this house by 9 p.m. I wanted to bring up that feeling, right, in for my audience. But my producer found the best song, because I had never heard that jazz funk junkanoo remake of Nassau Gone Funky. It's something for the young people, because we got to do something for the young people. Because the young people are obviously very, very bored and idle. Good morning. Welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green on this Monday, the 20th of December, 2021. On the Clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. So listen, I just want to ask one question. So what happened? What happened by the fort, down by the fort the other night? Well, why are y'all going to have a whole party like that and don't call nobody or tell nobody? I got to find a babysitter for my bad knee. I had to leave my bad knee at home and come out to party if somebody had told me what was happening. So I read about a couple of events, and I saw a couple of pictures, maybe from one event, maybe from multiple events. I don't know. But I don't believe what I saw in those pictures. I refuse to believe what I saw in those pictures. Because I thought we agreed that we would only use the hologram machine for rallies and political drive-through events. Who opened up the time the hologram machine, man? Who tried to make us think that there were 7,000 children in one place over the weekend? What is happening, Bahamas? And more importantly, why didn't you tell me about it? You know I wasn't coming to hog up the place. Anyway, here's what's troubling to me. What I read was that a lot of those children are just that. Children. They're old enough to drive. And while they may be old enough to drive, they're old enough for nobody to lend them their car on a Saturday night. So how did all them children get there? Did they teleport there? Who bought the teleport machine before paying off the national debt? I thought we had an agreement about that too. How did all these young people get there? See, so at first I was like, wait, how could this unfold? How could there be that many cars trying to get to one place in New Providence without the police realizing that there's a massive, massive problem afoot? I mean, a car, because I doubt many of them walk there. It's afoot. Anyway, how did it happen? But it turns out that they didn't drive, the majority of them. Their parents came, roll up, throw them out the car, and dash off before the police could catch them. But see, I don't blame a parent, you know, because a parent is like, well, I see a whole ticket. Like, they spend money to print this. Why would they spend money, like maybe a couple $100,000 to print ticket and flyer for an event they don't have permission to host? See, I don't half blame the parents. Because the parents are like, wait, there cannot be 18,000 children out here and nobody have permission to be out here. So who do we blame? Boy, boy, boy. See, now the Minister of National Security is going to tell you, look, this problem starts in the home. That's what they can tell you. But I think this one be putting on the government. And maybe even successive governments. We've thrown this one all the way back. See, it's more than just this behavior. We can talk a little bit about the other thing I saw this weekend too. But let me tell you where the first mistake came in. The first mistake came in when the newly elected government decided to have a semi-public swearing-in ceremony. Now, you may not believe me, but hold on. See, the second mistake came in when this newly sworn-in administration decided to change the curfew without addressing the public, giving them both their reasons for the shift and their expectations of our behavior. And the third mistake was not clearly establishing and publishing the protocols for large commercial and private events. I mean, establishing and publishing the protocols. Publish in a way to make it public so that it'll reach as many people as possible. But see, here's the fourth mistake. It's not making a public statement with the PM, of course, because the press secretary, he can be the face, right? He's the boss, statements. The PM, the Minister of National Security, the Minister of Health, and the Commissioner of Police at the start of the holiday season. A public statement giving us their expectations of our behavior during the season. And the fifth mistake, of course, and I can say it all the time, is not focusing on traffic control enforcement during a, if not the, peak road usage season. You see, I know that fifth one, you're like, oh, Aaron, you're going wild to the west. But how is it that many people could show up at one event and the police didn't realize quick enough to shut the whole thing down before it started that something was afoot? It wasn't 2 foot, that's a feet. Something was wrong. But if we had prioritized traffic management and enforcement, then there's no way that event could have unfolded. Because police officers doing regular patrols during your peak traffic and crime season would have noticed something was going on and shut that down right quick before the patrons, the staff, and the police incurred the risk of catching this vibe, catching COVID. Anyway, it's all what I heard, because I don't go nowhere. Because the way my insurance set up, I almost die. I catch drop on my chest Saturday night. I almost couldn't get up yesterday. We got a lot of work to do, Bahamas, because we have to figure out how to garner, how to muster, how to cause and compel within each other the display of discipline necessary to carry us throughout the next 5 years minimum for the country to survive. Ah, boy. I didn't even get to tell you all about the traffic madness I saw this weekend. But I hope you all notice there's an escalation in recklessness and disregard for rules and protocols taking place right now. I hope that the people who were involved in that multiple car accident at the Johnson Road, Eastern Road intersection are safe and are doing well. a few months ago around the election time when I mentioned a barricade, a banner, a placard, a big billboard that was placed in a precarious position on that intersection. Members of the public railed against me, telling me I was just being political and I didn't want to see the small party win. But the truth is, it's just a dangerous intersection. And politics should not trump the safety of your citizens. I saw images of police cars and private cars alike over the last week involved in accidents on the road. And see, again, while in virtually all instances the responsibility for the operation of the vehicle lies with the driver, on this one we also blame the government and the agents and actors responsible for traffic management. But the truth is, I don't even think at this point people are aware of their behavior, the recklessness of it, the risk that they create for others, the dangers involved. I think we are a people in crisis. And we need to begin to turn to each other and not just ask platitudes, rhetoric, but ensure that we are all okay. Because this crisis starts in the heart. Not just in the home, not in the wallet, but in the heart. We got to get a hold of ourselves and each other for the sake of the country. A good morning and welcome to On the Clock. I'm going to read these couple texts and then, Arlington, let's go to a break. I'm going to come back from that break. We're going to have this discussion. It is the Great Taxi Debate. My guest this morning, Mr. Chadson Gray from Safe Ride Transportation Services Company, a.k.a. Safe Ride 242, is joining me in the building today. And we're going to continue this conversation that we started from all the way back on Morning Blend. Now, I owe Mr. Chadson Gray this because I've been chafing up taxi drivers, and it is only right that I create a space for not just taxi drivers, but people in the transportation services industry to engage, not just as a caller, but as a participant. So, Mr. Gray, good morning.
Pleasant. Good morning, Aaron.
Let me read these texts, and then we're going to take that break and get back into the show. All right, first text. Dear texter, your text was so large, it did not download. You need to send it to me again, please. Another text. Good morning, Ms. Green. Just wanted to vent. No, you can't vent on public officials for doing their job when they're doing a decent job, man. You can't vent on Dr. Nikia Forbes for telling the Bahamas that the COVID surge starts on Grand Bahama without being able to say why. Now, for persons who don't understand what she's saying, makes it seem like Grand Bahama is at fault for cases. I think it's very irresponsible on her part, in my view. Okay, I could appreciate that. The dynamics on the ground, how people respond to information, what it means to the tourism market potentially. I appreciate that, but more importantly, I appreciate people wanting information to support the, you know, not the, the assertions and the claims being made. Not that we need to doubt Dr. Nikia Forbes at all, but I appreciate the text. Texter, another text. Great show as usual. I told you, Ms. Green, 75% of the drivers in Nassau drive like they ain't got no form of common sense. I can tell you, like, they never had a relationship with common sense. Another text. Ask your guests if they still hogging up all the taxi plates. Ask him when will someone else be allowed to get at least one taxi plate. Now, listen, we don't even know. He could be like me. He may not even have a taxi plate. I just be picking people up and taking them where they... Wait, hold on. Mr. Gray, we're going to get to that question. Is that against the law? Could I just pick people up in my car and take them where they want to go?
Not legally, according to the Road Traffic Authority, no, ma'am.
What? So when the Batelco bus say no riders, that's a real law?
Exactly. I mean, you can take them as a favor, but you can't charge them for the service.
Okay, you just can't. Well, that's the part I was interested in, charging the monies. Thank you very much for that. Now, like I said, this is the great debate. When I spoke about my issues with the taxi industry and transportation industry as a whole, I was brushing with a broad brush. are going to say all taxis, and Mr. Gray is going to say not all taxis. And this is the day we've come to have this conversation to whittle it down to the bare bones. So, Mr. Gray, you hold on 1 second. Mr. Producer, let's go to a break. And when we get back from this break, we're going to get into the great debate.
At Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with loved ones, and being thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family, and family is important to us.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Dwight Strawn with Morning Blend. On behalf of the crew and my co-hosts, I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and an incredibly blessed and prosperous New Year.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and today we begin the great debate, or like my guest has reframed it, because that's what man is due, the mutual understanding. I can't disagree with that at all. Who could disagree with that? Look at that, he done win a point over me already. So Mr. Gray is the owner-operator.
Yes, ma'am.
Of Safe Ride Transportation Company, where clients become friends and friends become family. Now, I know this wasn't on the list, right? But I love that. You know why? Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
Or let them drive at all if they don't need to.
Exactly. Look at us, the best friend ever. I love it. I love it. So please tell us about your company and what services, types of services you offer.
Well, Erin, first and foremost, thank you for allowing me to be here and participate in this conversation.
Yeah, man.
Safe Ride Transportation was started about 8 years ago. And it came about in a former life. Law enforcement and hospitality are my background. And developing a rapport with members at a private members club. They felt comfortable there. The place where they were, there wasn't a ton of activities for their kids. Uh-huh. And some of the bigger properties, they wanted them to get out, but to do that safely and with somebody that they trusted.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, that kind of parlayed into what is now Safe Ride Transportation Company.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome, man. Because I'd made fun of the young people a little while earlier, but the truth is that they're left with so few options and so little access.
Right.
Right? Accessibility to things.
Right.
And so a transportation company that's sort of rooted in or began, founded in those sorts of ideas, that's awesome, man.
That is how
now,
it started.
Is that a regular taxi company? Like, that's one of the ways you differ from a traditional taxi service, right?
Somewhat. At the end of the day, transportation on the island consists of an individual needing transportation and a driver or a company fulfilling that need. Something that's a little bit different, which would have been a part of your question.
Yeah.
It's not just the physical transport of individuals, but even before COVID, for example,
mm-hmm.
What are now some of the delivery services, the shopping services? Well, we have Bahamians in residence on some of the out islands where supplies, things like auto parts may not be readily available. And even prior to the great lockdowns.
So you transport goods
and
people as well?
Drop them off to the airport, into the boat, if that's what it is that they need, yes.
That is absolutely fabulous. See, I wanted to ask you some questions. Now, like I said, the most important part of this discussion is that Mr. Gray and Safe Ride Transportation Services, they are not the entirety of the taxi space, right?
Right.
And so I can only speak, he can only speak to what he does, and I got to be careful how I critique. But I want to ask some sort of critiquing questions, right, to get in there. That's awesome that you provide that type of transportation service, moving goods, right?
Yes.
Do you offer special rates or adjusted rates for family islanders in New Providence?
The Road Traffic Authority, Ms. Green, and we have to be very careful with that because they regulate.
Okay, so it's not that the Road Traffic Authority sets a suggested rate.
It's firm. It is from point A to point B is very, very firm. And I'm not going to say to you that clients that are a long-term or it could be a Christmas present to one that utilizes our service on a regular basis that I may not say or to a driver, that one is on us.
Yeah.
But we have to be careful with that because when you extend those considerations and a client may come into contact with another driver, then they feel like they're being gypped. But the Road Traffic Department is very clear on what drivers are allowed to charge within certain zones.
Right. So for a sense of solidarity with other members, not just of the union, but of the whole industry, it's going to be problematic to just adjust your prices. And it's illegal,
It is outside of the scope and the parameters
of
clearly defined by the Road Traffic Authority. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, see, thank you. Look here, this is why we had to have this conversation. Because, see, I have a feeling it was like that, you know. What I want to know is how are we, the people who need transportation services, a part of a community of people who provide transportation services, and maybe say a body like the taxi union, how are we going to work together to lobby the government to create a rate system that supports residents, but also supports those who make money from the service?
That's going to be a tough one, Ms. Green, because when you factor things in like the operational cost, for example, even before, let's say you wanted to get into the game, you're going to purchase a vehicle. It's known here that not just in transportation, but generally the vehicles that we get from Asia, they're a lot more, they're more cost effective and reasonable.
Yeah.
The size of them make them practical to provide transportation services. If there aren't considerations being extended there, for example, or for Bahamians residents that this consideration is being considered for, then operationally it becomes challenging if there aren't certain considerations being extended to the business owners.
So can you hold a plate or be a driver without being a member of the union?
Yes, no, it's not a prerequisite that you are a member of the taxi union to you apply for that through the Road Traffic Authority. and a board decides on the granting of...
of the plates.
Public transportation plates, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I don't have to be a part of the union to do this, right?
No, ma'am.
But what can the what can the union do with the members of the industry as a whole to lobby for the creation and the implementation of a policy that provides incentives and concessions to ultimately bring the cost down of public transportation, well, of this type of transportation service?
And we're speaking specifically, for clarity for me, with residents and Bahamians?
Yeah.
Or just generally?
Well, okay, see, I know we're entering the WTO era, right? And I know we're entering this age when they're going to say, oh, you cannot treat the foreigner differently than you treat, right? But if tourism is our main pillar of industry, then certainly there's a distinction between the Bahamian and the tourist. So, yeah, I'm trying to figure out ways that support the local and the local service provider, but doesn't necessarily put the entire burden on the tourist.
And we're very limited in that regard because the cost of doing business is the cost.
Yeah,
there are the considerations, to be fair. The Road Traffic Authority, for example, if you own a franchise, you get consideration insofar as every 5 years you're allowed to bring in a vehicle. There are parameters to that, and it's duty-free. But not everybody that operates a transportation company is necessarily a franchise holder. So you may be leasing a plate that doesn't necessarily have to get extended to you.
Ah.
So that in and of itself is a challenge as well. Right.
See, now I imagine, though, because whenever it's time to talk to the government, I like that. Let's identify where the issues sit, and then we can address them better.
Right.
And if you're looking at today's papers, at the gas prices this week, look here, $5.45, $5.34, and $5.44. Mm-hmm. I almost had a shudder just now. How do y'all survive with gas prices this high?
The limitations are there. I think the best thing that we can do in that regard is to do the things as public transportation service providers.
Yeah.
Do what we can to maximize on the business. We don't get to have a say in the cost of fuel. We don't get to have a say-so in duties and in taxi rates. But to provide a service to where you increase your business, provide quality service, and increase the amount of people that are interested in your service.
Absolutely. Okay, so I have this interesting article from 1971 provided for me by Mr. Arnold Rapp Wilson, the amateur archivist, right? And it's about a young man, Mr. Edward Miller, who he fixed up, I don't know what your mechanical people is call it, but I don't want to say rigged, that don't sound insurable, right? But he realigned his vehicle so that it didn't need gas. And he had two small generators in the trunk where the engine sits for your Volkswagen, right? He put two small generator in the back there. And his vehicle was running, right? That's what we have to go back to right now. When you look at the gas prices.
It might be something to take a look at.
Right, so how are we going to lobby? Because this is something that concerns citizens. Mm-hmm. More and more people are going to not be able to drive their car because of the cost of gas. How do we ensure that public transportation and transportation services like yours are accessible?
I think for the individuals that decide to get into the industry.
Yeah.
And I have to go back to Ms. Green to the parameters in which we operate.
Yeah.
There's also to provide the service for us, professional, consistent, reliable service. There is that.
Yeah.
I think as citizens, mm-hmm. gone are the days of where you pick up the phone and you call a number 333-334. Everybody knows where that was in Oaks Field. Those days are gone. Granted, there are instances where you have to move and it becomes a last minute thing. But for the most part, I think most Bahamians know how we're moving, when we're moving, generally, and when we're going to need transportation. That person that works at 4:30 or 5 in the morning, where a bus may not be running in their community.
Yeah.
The advantage of social media today There are several companies, and I implore any Bahamian in this moment, just type in right now, taxi transportation or taxi services.
And a bunch of them will pop up.
Absolutely. But in addition to that, the concern and something that we hear constantly is charging, overcharging. The information as it relates to rates are also available. So do a little double dose. It may seem like a little bit, but it protects you.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the back end of that, Ms. Green, is there are some challenges, to be honest, as it relates to that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Mary Brown calls and says, I need a driver at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Now, Mary called me at 5. At 8:30 at night, Mary's cousin, Susan, says, I could give you a ride. Mary doesn't consider me or my service or my time. She cancels. I show up at that location, and she's not there.
Yeah.
To avoid that with us, there has to be a commitment on your part. Like we do when we travel to the U.S., we don't go to the airport, call the people at Bahamas Air and say, I come in tomorrow to board the flight, but I can pay you when I reach.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. There's a commitment on your part by paying in advance, even if there's a percentage of that. That ensures your transportation, and now there's an obligation on the company and an expectation on your behalf
that service is fulfilled. I could run hard if you late.
Exactly.
If I ain't pay you, you can be like, miss.
Exactly.
You know you ain't pay me yet, right?
Exactly.
So listen, another thing is extending the hours that you work, right? That way you can make more money by taking on more customers. But that's dangerous. In the 2021, that's not the safest thing to be doing, right? I had an idea. I want to know if you think it's feasible.
Mm-hmm.
I had the chairman of the National Neighborhood Watch Council on my show earlier this month. Is a public-private partnership between the police, the union, and drivers, and the National Neighborhood Watch Council to monitor CCTV systems already in place real time. Is that feasible? See, not only will it possibly keep you safe, but then I could turn to Miss Mary and say, Miss Mary, I watch you leave your house, you know, and you ain't calling me to say don't come. Right. That's an extra charge.
Right. I think that it would absolutely be beneficial if we looked into something like that. We know that crime is a part of our life here in New Providence and throughout the country. And I think any steps that would at least serve as deterrents to somebody robbing you, hurting you potentially, mm-hmm. would be beneficial. It would motivate a driver or make them maybe feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Working a certain time, I don't like to do that thing. I come from Palm Beach Street.
Yeah.
And some people think Palm Beach Street rough.
It's rough if you ain't from there. That's how y'all just keep the secrets, like the flour bread, the flour cake, and the salty and thing. That's how y'all just keep the secrets.
The realities are based on statistics that we have some high crime areas.
Yeah.
And that's a reality, and that's certainly going to be a consideration for anybody going into a community, especially mm-hmm. at a certain time of the day. But like I said, anything that would serve as a deterrent
for
somebody
great.
With bad intentions would go a long way in what it is that we do.
Now, what do you think about cameras in cars and possibly even drivers with body cams on? Would that make the driver feel safer, and would you think it'd make the passenger feel safer as well?
Well, for me, with my vehicles, we have dual cams.
Awesome.
There's coverage on the exterior of the vehicle and on the interior, and they serve multiple purposes.
So if I in the car catching a ride home from the pizza place,
yes.
And by the time I get home, maybe two or three pieces of pizza are missing. You gonna let the pizza company and my partner call you for the evidence? I just need to know if I can eat the pizza in peace, sir.
The purpose of the camera, I assure you, is not to watch how many pieces of pizza that you have. Just the exterior of the vehicle and even the interior in moment, it goes a long way, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Listen, the issue of privacy is a big one, particularly right now.
Right.
But there's a point, you know, there's this line where we have to balance our sort of right to privacy and others' right to safety, right? And the safest environment possible. And so I think, you know, I don't want nobody to know where my hole in the bush is to go to that mango tree. I actually do, though, want to know that if anything happened to me, there is documentation of how I got there, where I got to, And the driver would be safe, right? The driver said, man, you can look at the camera anytime, officer.
Absolutely. And again, like I said, they serve multiple purposes. For example, for me, it's not my, in the first place, we hire professionals.
Yeah.
In the event there's a misunderstanding on the interior, that's easily rectifiable.
Right.
On the exterior, like you point out all the time, the reckless habits of some other road users, in the event there's an accident, there's no my story versus your story. It's clearly documented in the event it's needed. Yes, ma'am.
And I'm sure that parents would feel great knowing that, look, I could look at the video. If I have any questions about what my kids got up to this weekend while they were out, I could look at that video and get a sense of what was happening, you know? And that's good to know. Also, you said you hire professionals.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a... I understand now that the government does have a lot of involvement in the industry, right?
Absolutely.
Is there a process for vetting drivers? Like, before you get this plate, is there a process? Do they check your driving record? Do they check your insurance record? They ask your mommy how many times she had to pay the cops off for this little no-license thing like that?
There are several stakeholders before you get to operate a public transportation vehicle. And let me speak specifically to the taxi drivers that we hire. The road traffic department, even to acquire a public service badge, for example, a driving record is required, a regular driver's license is required, a character reference or police record, and a driving record is required. That's on that level. For me personally, and I acquired my badge some years ago, there's an interview process. There's you go out on the road. They ask you to take them to certain locations.
See, I used to be a driving instructor.
Mm-hmm.
In Justice Gardens, the spot 242, they sort of fired me very quickly.
Uh-oh.
When they realized that I didn't have a license.
Oh.
And that ended that career very quickly in Justice Gardens. I'm applying to do the same thing in New Providence, but I heard there's a moratorium on driving schools in New Providence right now, which is possibly a good thing, considering I was trying to get in.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
They do vet.
They do.
And your company vets?
Outside of that, and even outside of the Road Traffic Authority, the insurance companies for public service drivers, for a driver to be added on my company insurance, for example, they also go through a drug screen.
Uh-huh.
That's something that's required every time that you renew your insurance.
That's awesome.
It is.
That's awesome.
It is.
Because sometimes in this town, you feel like things are being run like a tuck shop. But it's great to know that there are not just standards in place, but there are people who understand them, understand why they exist, and adhere to them. This is awesome.
Yes.
Mr. Safe Ride 242 Company. Thank you. I got a couple more texts here. Text says, good morning, Aaron. On the point of high cost of running a jitney due to the high cost of fuel, we can look at adapting the vehicles to run off LP gas. I see they have such vehicles in Puerto Rico. This would be exponentially cheaper than gasoline. Right. Okay. All right. This is a good idea.
It would be something to look at.
Right.
Whatever brings the cost down so that can be extended to the general public goes a very, very long way in providing what folks may deem affordable means of getting around the island, of course.
And then I have to remind myself, right, that that's a great idea, but I'm not expecting one bus driver with one bus to have the resources to begin that transition themselves, right? And so we also have to focus on, that's why I like talking to the taxi union, right? Because you have the capacity to help create these new mechanisms for the expansion of this space.
Yes.
And for me, I just don't want it to be tourist driven all the time. While I can accept that perhaps the transportation service industry is a tourism-driven or tourism-focused space, I can't just let it be driven by those considerations alone. Right? And so we lobby, we agitate, we educate, and we hope for a shift. So I got a couple more texts here. Great show as usual, Miss Green. You are from Fox Hill. I am from Fox Hill. No taxi in this lifetime. Going in the night in Fox Hill. Now, first of all, don't say that. Right? Like Mr. Gray mentioned earlier in the show, we do have one or two troubled hotspot areas. But first of all, A, Fox Hill isn't a monolith, and B, just because they have crime hotspots don't mean that they don't have nice people in Fox Hill.
Exactly.
Right? Secondly, I think that we're missing a grand opportunity in this country, especially since we say we're tourism focused and driven. A place like Fox Hill is prime for nighttime activities. You could imagine dinner on the park or dinner on the cycle with traditional Bahamian straw accessories, night lights, music being played, a grill with local food cooking, and open to both Bahamians and tourists.
Like,
and not just in Fox Hill.
Like it used to be.
Like it used to be, right? Like this ain't making any sense. And what you do, people, is the same way that the Cuban government, when it closes the grouper season, pays the fishermen who would make their money from grouper, they pay them to protect the closed territories. What you do is you pay the residents to patrol. You put them on security. You incentivize them to protect the product that they are now a part of. Great show as usual. Your guest A from Palm Beach Street, that voice in Fox Hill, that on a different level. Fox Hill is like Albany compared to Palm Beach Street. Listen, first of all,
I object, Miss Green.
Let me object first. Y'all just make these assumptions, okay? First of all, y'all don't know what's going on inside these communities because you don't live there. You don't even know if the people who committing the crimes are from there. If they come in there intentionally to destroy the place, you don't know that. But most of all, you're doing it yourself a disservice. The best times are had in places like Palm Beach Street and Fox Hill, where the people have each other and not AC and five different TV and five different room and everybody by themselves.
A community.
That's right. You know what it is to pick your head up when you're drinking a Guinness and you see three grown adults playing hopscotch on the side of the road? Y'all don't know what fun is. But we tend to perpetuate these spaces by perpetuating the ideas that that's the only thing that happens in these spaces. But a part of it is the transportation people them fault. Because I can't just get on a bus and go to Palm Beach Street when they're having their little community event and go support it.
See, but it would be great. There are so many facets to that. The stakeholders involved, if there is an event in the community, reach out to the taxi union, for example. Say to them that this is what is happening. Mm-hmm. The people that you may come into contact with, not just your visitors, but Bahamians and residents as well, and advise them. It's up to them if they want to go or not. But the amount of people that the public service drivers would come into contact with could help even to make your event successful.
Yeah. And so, listen, do y'all offer safe party rides? Like, I just thought about that. Mm-hmm. Me and my sister-in at the ACW, the Anglican Church Women's Group, mm-hmm. we want to go out. In fact, they have in four different events this Saturday. And we've decided, like, the 12 of us, or maybe it's even 24 of us, we may need two bus or three bus. We hire in these buses, and we want to go to the Red Cross Fair. Then we want to go to Food Fest. Then my little niece's school having a big jamboree. Y'all know who y'all is. Having a big jamboree. We want to go there too. Could we hire that right in the daytime? Don't take anybody in the 3 & 10 gang out at night.
SafeRide242.com, SafeRide on Facebook, or SafeRide242 on Google Business. Just reach out to us and we'll take care of it.
Y'all already doing that?
Yes, ma'am.
Listen, I know we're coming to the end of the show, right? And I'm glad you gave us your information just there. I went on a birthday trip. Somebody hired a jitney, right? And they hired like four men. We talk about security. These by them look at me and they're like, Miss Green, you don't need no more rum. I'm going to secure that bottle of Campari for you right now, right? And we had a wonderful time. We drove all the way around the island. We didn't have to worry about drinking and operating vehicles. The bus drivers drove. They kept us safe. I sure when I was walking in the ocean because, you know, I'm sure there was some alcohol out there somewhere.
Somewhere.
The bus driver grabbed me. He's like, no, Miss Green, you can't go swimming right now. It was a safe ride. That's the kind of things we're doing.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. We are.
Awesome.
And the services are available.
That is awesome. Now, I'm just about out of time. I want to throw this question out there to you and the wider public. It's a bit of a heavy one, but do you think commercial, corporate, and professional drivers have a greater duty of care and a duty to uphold a higher standard behind the wheel of a vehicle than the regular driver.
I think ultimately, Ms. Green, anybody that legally has permission to operate a vehicle on our streets has a responsibility and obligation to be mindful of others and their safety.
Mm-hmm.
But just for the fact that this is our business, this is what it is that we do for a living, then absolutely, I would agree with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. You know, I believe that, right? I'd say just a higher standard, not much higher, you know, because like you say, anybody that gets behind the wheel of a car takes on that awesome responsibility.
Yes.
But I think that more importantly, we rely on professional, corporate, and commercial drivers to set a standard.
It is our business. It is what it is that we chose. Nobody forces us to choose this profession. Then absolutely, that should be the expectation of the people that we service, yes.
Absolutely. Now listen, Mr. Chadson Gray, I think I lost this debate. I didn't lose the mutual conversation, though. I think we had a good time right there.
Thoroughly enjoyed it, absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And to other members of the transportation service industry, I hope you guys enjoyed this discussion. I hope I added a couple of ideas out there that interest you, pique your interest. And I hope you're all ready for me to begin lobbying the union and the government to see some changes that support both the local service user and the local service provider. And my tourist friends, we ain't forget y'all. Y'all straight. Y'all safe. I gotta go. It's 11 a.m. I say thank you to my producer, Arlington, for the sweet music this morning. Thank you, Mr. Gray, from SafeRide Transportation Services Company, SafeRide 242, where friends become customers become friends and friends become family. And
absolutely.
Family don't let family drive drunk. I love it, Bahamas. Have a great, great day.
Thank you, Ms. Green.
Thank you.
Mini skirts, maxi skirts, and afro hairdo. People doing their own thing, don't care about me or you. Nassau's gone funky. Nassau's got soul now.